Washington. I'm Bob Agnew.
The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the host and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
Welcome to The Lawyer's Edge, a program that seeks to answer your questions on civil, criminal, constitutional, and political legal matters with attorneys Robert J. Slama and David Trotty. Robert J. Slama is a U.S. veteran and prominent attorney who has served as counsel for some of Jacksonville's most high-profile cases. Robert Slama is a member of the Florida Bar and the U.S. Supreme Court Bar Associations. He's argued cases in Florida, as well as constitutional cases, before the highest court in the land. David Trotty is a Florida Bar attorney, practicing since 2000, and is a certified civil and family law mediator and a qualified arbitrator in the state of Florida. His practice focuses on family and criminal law issues and mediation. He's a former Marine who served in Japan and the U.S. Embassy in Austria and Tanzania. Also a federal police officer with the Central Intelligence Agency. It's now time to discuss today's legal topics and issues and how they impact your family and small business. Now, live from the WBOB studios, here's attorneys Robert J. Slama and David Trotty.
And welcome to The Lawyer's Edge. I'm Roger Henderson. Not a lawyer, but Robert J. Slama is here with us today talking about very important legal matters. And hopefully before the hour's up, we'll be very educated on maybe an area of the law that we weren't as educated before the program. And happy Tuesday, Robert.
Happy Tuesday, Roger. And it's always good to be with you here in the studios. Listen, you know, today part of what I want to get into, we're going to get into essentially two parts to one big puzzle. And that one puzzle is, here we are, we've had the summer. I'm guessing you had a very good summer. Most people don't want to get involved in legal issues during the summer because you want to enjoy your rest. I'm a lawyer. I wish I could put myself in that category, but unfortunately I can't. But we all love the summer. So anyway, for all those things that you've been putting off and now you're ready to do, now's the time to engage it. But let me tell you, I want to talk about fear. You may say, Roger, I'm a well-educated guy, and I know a little bit about just about everything. But if I said to you, are you ever afraid? Do you ever get afraid or afraid to tackle a challenge or something that's before you? Would that happen to someone like you?
It depends on what your definition of fear is. You know, I'm not scared, but, you know, the unknown, not knowing the outcome, you know, that can sometimes be a little concerning.
Apprehensive, maybe?
Maybe, or at least maybe a little anxious, knowing that, you know, big things could end up being affected by it, maybe.
Sure. Now, when I say, and I'm using the word fear kind of generically, and it's in this sense. I don't mean procrastinating and procrastinating being, you know, I just don't want to do this. I mean, I hear it all the time from clients. This is why I say this. And I'll tell you a couple of stories, and it may help illuminate this. Someone will say, I know I need to do this, like a surgery, but I'm just afraid. Or they use the words, I lack courage to go forward. And I say to them, you do realize that means you have courage to continue to confront the problem that you have, but why not use that same courage to address and move forward?
And very important to remember, Robert, is that sticking your head in the sand doesn't make the problem go away. In fact, it could only cause it to compound in some cases.
Absolutely. So I'm going to talk a little bit about fear and this part. For a lot of people to get up, and I realize this, to actually, like me, if you have a pain, say, you know, when you go to the doctor by getting illumination of the issue, now I have to deal with what he just said, right? So you may be sitting there going, Roger's saying I have a pain in my side. Well, maybe it's nothing. Maybe you were working out the other day and you just pulled something. Okay, great. Maybe it's also a sign, as we're all afraid of, the C word, that now what it really is, that pain is something much bigger. Maybe it's a heart issue. Maybe it's cancer. Maybe it's this. Maybe it's that. So when we use the word fear, and I do, anxiety, it can sometimes cause people to, if their head was under the sand, as I say, put it deeper. Go deeper, but don't come up. So the first step is addressing it, is seeing someone. That takes a little bit of courage, right?
It can.
You can.
And you're talking about medical issues. I just found out that someone who I'd loved and admired for years passed away, and they got more details from a relative of his that the reason why he didn't see the doctor right away is he was afraid of needles.
See? But I'm saying, I hear this, and so here's what I want to tell people first is, whatever that issue is, and trust me, I understand, because I hear a lot of personal things on a lot of different levels. People have different fears. For example, when it comes to addressing divorce or family issues, children's issues, a big issue of fear is, how is this going to change all parts of my life, my relationships with family, my money, my finances? What will life look like on the other side? And that's really a small example. I'll give you another example. People fear, maybe at a high level, is brought about by being overwhelmed, which leads to a lack of action. I'll give you a perfect example. I had someone who came in the other day who has, and we've talked about this before with guardianship, someone who has had a child who is an adult but is unable to care for themselves. Oftentimes it's a result of a medical condition or an injury sustained. It can be a car accident. It can be, unfortunately, a victim of a crime, getting hit, hurt, whatever it is. Her fear was she was dealing with this all alone with a local hospital. And what she was trying to get done was get him first, of course, the proper treatment, and then afterwards figure out long-term care and 24-hour care and how all of this was to happen. In the meantime, what happens is, hospital says to her, he can't stay here anymore. He's done. So ultimately, he's going to have to go away, and looking at moving him to Georgia. And as you can imagine, the fear that comes with something that you're not really in control of, somebody who, in this case, a hospital, is getting ready to make a decision, but she wasn't prepared for the decision, at least emotionally, but I mean legally she wasn't prepared. Why? She didn't have a guardianship. Had she had a guardianship, now the person that they're trying to make a decision about is a ward of the court, and there is a venue to resolve issues, including court approval of moving that person out of state. After she met with me, and she had A, information, and B, she had a plan, and C, she understood what the parameters were of this situation, she then felt this peace and this calm. How often does that happen? And I look at folks and think, why were they living in pain for all that time? Then get information from someone who knows the story and can help direct you. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Okay. So what I want to motivate everyone to today is, whatever that thing is that's been lingering, that's out there, that thing that you've been trying to kick around or resolve, or you've just been unfortunately carrying all by yourself with no real pretense of action, don't do it. Come forward. You can schedule an appointment with me. I'm more than happy to sit down with you. And even if you've seen someone else in the past, you know, as I tell Roger this all the time, all lawyers, like all doctors, they are not created equal. Mm-hmm. You have different lengths of time practicing, experience. What I always tell people when you meet with someone is to find out what their plan is, right? If they can't sit down with you, look you in the eyes, and after hearing from you, give you a preliminary plan. Plans change based on facts, based on things you will learn later when you get into a case. But if they can't give you a plan, tell you what they're going to do, how the different ways are to approach it, go see someone else. Because the idea is the plan is probably not going to get better from there. Mm. For example, and I love this story. I had people coming in the other day. They had already seen two other attorneys. She came in with her father, who's a businessman, which I love. I love when kids older, I mean, I understand when I say kids, I don't care what their age is, come in with a parent. And that way it gets communicated directly. It doesn't get secondhand. Had seen other people, and the first thing I told them is lay it out. What exactly is it? What is your goal? What are you trying to get to? What's the outcome you desire? And along the way, my question, what are your fears? What are your concerns? As we got rolling, Roger, almost three hours, he looks at me and says, you know, for the first time now I understand the direction, the parameters, the issues, the concerns. I could see he left because I gave him the information how he was going to attack this. Mm-hmm. That's what you need. So that's why when I asked you the question, what is the source generally in the genesis of the fear? People tend to feel helpless that they can attack this situation and get somewhere.
Give me an example of something that people really need to get a lawyer involved with, but they have been putting it off, procrastinating, possibly because of fear, possibly because of anxiety for the fear of the unknown, that a lawyer, a competent lawyer, could really help change their whole future with that.
Sure. Let me take the first one. Financial issues.
Okay.
Most people... and I'm just going to say this today is most people, they'll read a few things online and they try to do it yourself.
Okay.
So scrap that. You can't do it yourself. For every story you can give me as someone who successfully did it themselves, I'll give you 100 stories where not only do they mess it up, mm-hmm. they cause themselves problems for years to come.
You can't perform surgery on yourself either.
Not
most of the time.
Most of the time you can't. On TV, of course, we see it, but most of the time you can't.
Even with the, you know, the pimples, it's best to get Dr. Pimple Popper to help you, right? Have you seen that show?
Oh gosh. So the first I will say is anything financial, and by that let me define it. Even though the economy is booming, and I get it that the economy is booming, it is. However, remember the thing I was telling you, Roger, over the years, if you look at what's happened to the middle class, and it still hasn't changed, the upper middle class, even during the recession, was going up and maintaining themselves. The middle class and the lower middle class are going gone. Now, I know because I follow this very, very carefully. I've had people, when I said this to them, they said, even in the current booming economy, and I said, slight gains in those areas. But here's what you have to understand about those two segments of the middle class. Those two segments are and have been the place where a lot of our technological gains have reduced jobs, mm-hmm. and they have reduced wages. So when you take a period of 10 to 15 years of this happening, in this short term of slight gains, it has not yet changed the amount of debt those folks have. It hasn't changed many of the issues with mortgages. It hasn't affected much of their lives in real sense. But now if you go to the upper middle class, they're booming like they've never boomed before. That's everything from retirement, 401ks, opportunities for advancement. Now, opportunities, you know what they were showing? People changing jobs.
Okay.
Because they can. Upper class, of course, doing well, but it's this segment of the middle class. So anyway, any financial issues, foreclosures, credit cards, all that stuff, you need counsel who can make great changes in your life. And I mean great changes on how to manage that debt or how to deal with those issues. Mm-hmm. Second area, for a lot of folks, when it comes to now dealing with what I'll call family members, guardianship, as I was just mentioning. Guardianship, where you have elder people in the family who, for different reasons, everything from dementia, inability as they get older to manage themselves, either financially or medically, you need a guardianship, not just a power of attorney. That's someone you can make a great difference in.
What's the difference and why would it matter?
Here's why it matters. With the power of attorney, let's say that you for your relative, say your mother-in-law, she's getting older, you have a power of attorney. A power of attorney is really designed for temporary things. You're going in for surgery. You're going to be laid up for 4 weeks. You can't get around, pay your bills, that. You give a power of attorney.
So basically that allows, just so everyone's on the same page, the person who has the power of attorney to essentially go into that person's bank account and pay their bills for them, right?
And do anything they could do, depending upon how much power was given to them.
Okay.
But a power of attorney is really for a temporary situation. At the point in time that you have a permanent change that affects your ability to take care of yourself. Because we have two types of guardianships. You have a limited, which may be just paying someone's bills, financial. So you don't have this situation. Well, again, I'll use mother-in-law. Mother-in-law today went out, and the next thing you know, she spent $8,000 on stuff online. And then you look at it and say, oh my gosh, you know, she had that lapse, off she went. Mm-hmm. And she doesn't remember that she didn't order the same thing 4 or 5 times.
Mm-hmm. So the guardianship, typically when you think of guardianship, at least I do, it's the adult doesn't come into play, but it's having custody of someone else's children, right? Or is it the same thing?
It's used in two different senses. A guardianship case is where I have the ability, after the court empowers me, to take over part of your life on a permanent basis, unless it's changed. So you can have a full guardianship, which includes things like everything, medical decisions, personal decisions, financial decisions, where you live and what you do. You can't go up to your mother, your mother-in-law with a power of attorney and say, I'm moving you from here and I'm putting you out in Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
With a guardianship, you get power of the court to do this. The last area, and we'll talk about this coming back from the break, is in family issues. There are so many pieces and parts to the family law side where people should come forward and take action. But we'll talk about that coming back from the break. You're listening to The Lawyer's Edge on WBOB. We are here for you.
A law firm dedicated to helping families. A law firm dedicated to you. The law firm of Robert J. Slama.
Hi, I'm Robert Slama, and I want to be your family's attorney. For over 17 years, I've assisted the Jacksonville community by providing a full-service law firm for families, not the rich and powerful, but for everyday families like yours. Since 1998, I have handled some of the most complicated cases in Jacksonville, including Brenton Butler, and more recently, the jury verdict in Jermaine DeBose. Whether it's family law, including divorce, custody, or bankruptcy, juvenile law, personal injury, probate, civil rights, or not-for-profit and churches, I'm dedicated to helping your family with your legal needs. I'm Robert Slama, and I want to be your family's attorney. Call me anytime. My number is 904-296-1050, or you may text me at 838-8607. The law firm of Robert J. Slama.
Welcome back to The Lawyer's Edge. This is Roger Henderson here with Robert J. Slama, attorney at law. And real quickly, if someone needs your legal help, how do they get in touch with you?
Real easy. Call my office at 904-296-1050. Also, on Facebook, if you go to The Lawyer's Edge, we're on The Lawyer's Edge. And, of course, my website, forthefamilyjacks.com. I think a lot of the fear we were talking about before, a lot of it can be alleviated once you decide on who is going to represent you or who's going to handle your case. For a lot of folks, when I was saying before, the anxiety of not knowing, a friend of mine communicated it to me this way. He said, Robert, have you know, when you were working on your house and doing construction some years ago, he said, how did it make you feel? I said, anxious. He started laughing. He said, you mean you felt like a lot of your clients? I said, how so? He said, well, you weren't in control. You had no idea about the building process. And every time you turned around, someone was asking you for money. How does that sound? I said, wow. So anyway, he said, but now if you knew about the building process, if you understood how these things are going to take place, you kind of understood the time frame, but you also understood construction doesn't go in a straight line either, much like the law. It goes sometimes, you know, it rains, there's a hurricane. What happens to your construction? It goes out the window. Things are taken away because they have to take them away when a storm comes. So they take away the dumpster and all this other stuff. Then your construction's held up waiting on the dumpsters to come back. So you get the point. But ultimately what I have found is, and let me start here, when someone comes in, after we have our initial consultation, there are things, if you've been to other people and you've talked with other folks, but in your stomach it hasn't felt right. Today, then you need a second opinion. And I would love to talk with you and go over whatever someone has given you, whether it's in a personal injury case, whether it's Men Mal, whether it's a family law case, certainly civil rights, which I do. And we'll be, I posted stuff online regarding the Lawyer's Edge and David's elections case. There's a lot of stuff out there to take a look at. Today, though, what happens, Roger, is people go online. They're used to now shopping online and think, I believe, inside of a few minutes of reading a line or two online, that you understand who and what that person is, what their experience level is, all that kind of stuff. Now, that may work for maybe jewelry. It may work for certain products. But I still say when it comes to professional services, you've got to meet with the person and ask them this question. Can you provide me with a litigation plan of how you're going to get me from point A to point B? What's that going to look like and what's that going to cost? Now, let me give you the example of the detail I'm talking about. Someone came in the other day, and this is a perfect example of what I mean by how to do this. They came in, they had been with someone else, and they even had documents that were prepared. And it was just funny because she was telling me, we already have a parenting plan. Look, we've already thought about that. And so you see the smile on my face. Here's why I'm laughing. Do you know I spent 2 hours with her on that parenting plan? Do you know what she figured out?
What?
She figured out she really didn't know very much. You see, know what you know, what you don't know. Someone who's really good, they can fill in all the gaps. What someone who's really good and knows what they know, I can take, if you give me a document, I look at it, tell me where that came from. I will be able to tell you more about that document and more about what's not in it than you probably understand about what is in it, which is exactly what happened. So it went like this. I said, how old is the child? Well, the child is very young, a newborn, say 12 weeks, 15 weeks, 18 weeks, young child, not a toddler, young child. I said, first of all, in that little parenting plan that you have over there, the idea is to avoid issues. So it goes like this. I said, have you thought about over the next 3 to 4 years when the child becomes school age, pre-K and going on, have you thought about the needs of the child and what you need to do now to think about now that you guys can do by agreement to save you thousands of dollars and litigation down the road? I said, oh, yeah, I think we did. As I went through and I started breaking up each piece, I didn't even get through the first page without about 10 suggestions, all of which probably saved her, at that point, probably about $20,000 in future litigation.
Wow.
That's what I'm saying is the difference between different attorneys is the eye and also the experience, which dictates how to avoid problems instead of how do we handle them once we run into them. So, for example, with a parenting plan, if you've been somewhere else, ask them what their idea is on how to handle and manage your stuff. Go see somebody else and let someone else take a look at it. And it's without exception, my clients always, and I can't find an exception, you've told me more about my case. You just met me in 40 minutes, but I've been with someone for weeks or years. I mean, months. Sometimes years. The other is when it comes to a personal injury case. Let me say this. There's a lot of advertising, and I hear all the people looking at the advertising as the answer to the question. Later then, the calls I get always go like this. I'm with this firm. They don't tell me much about my case. They don't seem to know what's really going on. It's taking a long time. And on top of that, I'm meeting with this, staff. I'm not meeting with the attorney. So anyway, in a personal injury case, the outcome is important, but managing you along the way, including if that case has to go to trial. When we come back from the break, for those of you that have personal injury cases, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about how I manage them and give you some ideas on...
Talk Radio, AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. The political world is focused on Ohio today, where voters are filling an open congressional seat in a race that's said to be unusually tight. Democrat Danny O'Connor running neck and neck with Republican Troy Balderson in a district that's been reliably Republican for three decades now. The TSA has announced it has no plans of dropping screening at small airports. Administrator David Pekoski denies a CNN report that the agency was considering ending screening at airports that serve planes with 60 seats or fewer. President Trump says stiff U.S. sanctions against Iran are back in effect and that anyone doing business with Iran will, quote, not be doing business with the United States. The sanctions reinstated today target financial transactions that involve U.S. dollars, as well as Iran's automotive sector, the purchase of commercial planes and metals, including gold. On Wall Street right now, the Dow is up 165 points. This is SRN News.
Download WBOB's mobile app for free from your app store. Powered by Duval County Judicial Candidate Kimberly Sadler.
This is Bill Martin with God First Ministries. 1 Timothy 2, verse 4 says that God wants all to be saved. That all includes you. John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Romans 10 verse 9 says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You can pray this simple prayer with me to receive God's gift of salvation. God, I believe that Jesus was raised from the dead and that Jesus is Lord. I now choose to make Jesus Lord of my life.
This message has been brought to you by God First Ministries of Jacksonville. For more information, visit their website at godfirstmin.com.
The year was 1957, and two of the top movies that year were Bridge Over River Kwai and Old Yeller. And two of the top 10 TV shows were Gunsmoke and I've Got a Secret. 1957 was also the year that the Boger's family opened their shoe store on Park Street here in Jacksonville. Since then, Boger's Shoes has been providing orthopedic and diabetic shoes for thousands of customers in Northeast Florida. Boger's Shoes specializes in extra wide width shoes, and they offer free evaluations and fittings by three board-certified podiatrists on staff. With your doctor's prescription, they can custom make orthotics in their on-site lab. Boger's Shoes also carries many popular brands like Birkenstock, For Your Soul by Rocky Brands, New Balance, Dansko, SAS, and Vionic, just to mention a few. Good old-fashioned customer service has been the key to Boger's Shoes' success since 1957. Stop by 1014 Park Street in Five Points and experience the Boger's Shoes difference. Boger's Shoes, the answer for hurting feet. Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church, invites you to worship with them. 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study. 10:45 a.m. Sunday, expository preaching of God's Word. 7 p.m. Sunday, expository preaching of God's Word. 7 p.m. Wednesday, Bible Q&A with fellowship meal. They're located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road in the heart of Mandarin, just 1 mile south of I-295.
Are you having issues with your roof? Hi, A.J. Davis here. After a strong storm last summer, I noticed the shingles on my roof were no longer on the roof, so I contacted my friend John about SNC Square Contracting, asked him about his experience. He said, go for it. They put on a new roof, and after two hurricanes and several summer storms, all the shingles are where they should be, no leaks. So protect your home. Call SNC Square LLC, Roofing with Integrity, at 524-8621. That's 524-8621.
Welcome back to The Lawyer's Edge. Roger Henderson, along with Robert J. Slama, attorney at law. Robert spends Tuesday afternoons with us, giving us insights on the law and helping, you know, regular guys like me and you understand the law a little bit better with his years of experience. You've represented some very high-profile cases in the area over the years, haven't you?
Yes, I have. And many of those, they're all very interesting. They're all very different. But there is no small case. I'll hear that from time to time. Someone says, well, you know, this may not be as big as this case. And my answer is they're all big cases. The reason is it deals with your life and it affects your life in some respect, either life, liberty, or property. Before the break, I was starting to introduce in the world of personal injury. What I want to do in this segment, Roger, and I think you're going to learn some things from this that you didn't know, is demystify the world of personal injury. What concerns me today is people are making snap judgments based on 2 minutes on the internet, a couple of radio ads, a couple of TV ads, and we're really becoming a people of no substance. And really what's getting washed out is real information and real understanding, right? Let me give you an example. My PI cases, when I work them real hard. Why do I work them real hard? If you've been laid up, and many of my clients have laid up, it affects your ability to work. It affects your income. It also affects your family. How does it affect your family? Roger, your kids are grown. If you were in an accident tomorrow, let's say, and your back were injured or your neck were injured, today you don't have the same problem you would have had 20 years ago, right? Your daughter looks at you and wants you to pick her up or go to the park or play, and you go, I can't do that. Well, all the places where you can no longer interact with your children, your family, let's say you like bowling, all your life activities, they're all affected. Not to mention you're taking time off of work to get treated, your employers aren't happy with you, and it also adds to the stress of everyday life. So a lot of people, because of that, they forego treatment. What if you're a truck driver? You can't take Percocet. So what do you do for the pain in sitting in the vehicle? You're stuck. Now, when I'm working with these adjusters, first I start out, I'm like this. I realize my success on that phone and my success on that case affects you. How does it affect you? You ready for this? If you ask your attorney this, they're not going to tell you this, many of them. Do you know what many of them do? Look at your fee agreement. And I ask in people, 100 people come see me next week, and I promise you we'll have this discussion. In your fee agreement, once the lawyer files suit and an answer happens, they now get 40%. If they settle your case pre-suit, they only get 33%. Do you know how many of these firms hold off on settling your case until they file because they make 7% more per person? Now, say that's a $100,000 policy. Roger, you're a smart guy. What's 7% of $100,000?
It's $7,000.
Okay.
Now, isn't that unethical?
There's nothing that says, this is what I'm trying to say is, there's nothing that says how hard I have to fight pre-suit. So here's what a lot of them do. They put together a letter. They say, I want policy limits. They send it out. The adjuster comes back and says, no, we offer $2,400. They go, sorry, we're done. Let me file suit. I know firms who hold back on the offer, really the offer, until they file suit, and then they go after them hard, trying to avoid additional litigation, but they wait until the answer comes in. Now they're looking at another 7%. So what am I saying, Roger? These big firms, 7% per head. I know some of the bigger ones that are getting 300 calls a day. Do you understand? Now start doing 7% versus 33 and a third. Now I'm going to give you the breakdown, what I'm talking about. Pre-suit, when you get a hold of these adjusters, there's a lot of work. A lot of work to be done. First, I've got to get you properly medically treated and figure out what exactly is wrong with you. I know a lot of folks, they don't take that time because they're these larger personal injury firms. The benefit with someone who is smaller like me, but not too small, who has a history of verdicts and has a history of large settlements, is the time that I'm going to spend with you, you're not off with a staff person. You're not off with a paralegal. You're off with me. And I'm able to tell you exactly what we're doing and getting the records, but also making sure that you're getting the proper medical treatment. Very important, because I'll give you an example. Suppose I settle your case fast, and then 7 months later you realize that you had an additional injury. Let me give you a perfect example of it. I had a case I was handling, and actually this was a friend. It turns out that at the end of December, we had gotten to a certain place with the insurance company, but it was a very, very low offer on him and his son. Well, it's kind of instinct, I would say, and experience, knowing how long do you allow the person to treat before you execute or try to execute a settlement? Well, my answer is, I look at the impact on the car. I look at what happened, what the injuries are complained of. Here's what I know. Even though a lot of people will start out and say, yeah, I think it's going to be okay, I know down the road when I look at the impact and what happened and what they tell me about what happened in the car. In his case, he was in a large truck. So you'd say, oh, he was in a big truck. That's pretty good. He got rear-ended by a car going 45 miles an hour as he was turning right to turn off the street. He gets hit by someone. How hard? Roger, the two cars were meshed together, stuck together, and went 40 to 50 feet up the street while he was trying to turn right.
Hmm.
His arms go flying up into the air, and his head hit the ceiling in the car. So picture like on a bucking Bronco, okay? You know when they kick up?
Mm-hmm.
And you see the rodeo guys, their arms and everything go up in the air, and they go flying up like rag dolls? That was my vision of what happened to him in that car, and loses consciousness for a second. Any doctor will tell you if you lose consciousness as a result of any head injury, it's what we call a closed head injury. There's some measure of damage that happened to you. Well, after that, we later learn that he had, this was about a year later, that he had a tear in his shoulder. Well, that doesn't come out until later. Some of these things, because you have to go through pain, recurring pain, they try to treat it with pain meds and trigger injections and all this. And then if it persists, then they order the MRI on that area because these testings are expensive. So you get the picture. First, you got to treat medically to a proper conclusion, or what we call MMI, maximum medical. Second is negotiating with the insurance company. Now, listen to this. This should come as a surprise to you. When I talk with that adjuster, and I can tell the adjuster who's just processing my case and the adjuster who knows what they're talking about, when I get the one who doesn't know what they're talking about, they have no idea what they're doing or a very low-level experience, I ask to speak to the supervisor. Do you know when I get to the supervisor, and I'll put them all out there on the street, State Farm, you, Allstate, all these companies, but State Farm, Allstate being the worst, Geico, do you know what they say to me? Now, can you imagine someone saying this? The supervisor said to me, I get this all the time, why do you want to talk to a supervisor? I said, what? I said, I'm going to translate your question, sir or madam, into this. Are you asking what my angle is, why I want to talk to you? He said, yeah, because most attorneys, he goes, don't want to talk to a supervisor. What's your angle? I said, you ready for this, friend? I said, first, I'm not a PI whore. Second, I'm interested in the success of my client. I said, let's just step back for a minute. In a $25,000 policy, friend, I'm only getting 33 and a third on this case, but if I file, I get 7%. Do you know what 7% means to my client in a $25,000 policy case or 10? Then you're telling me to put them in litigation where now they have additional costs, filing fees. You know, in that case, we're going to be taking depositions of doctors. Those are real costs. So then if a year down the road, you then pay the $25,000 or the $10,000 on these limits, guess who just made out on the case? Me and the doctors, and I've reduced the settlement to my client. Do you want to ask me again why I'm on the phone with you? I have a duty to take care of my client and to get him the most money I can. Roger, I do. But when these adjusters see me, I don't stop. And then let's say that supervisor doesn't do me right. I do my civil remedies notice, a CRN, which is reported to the state of Florida. I always copy the CEO of that company. I know the guy from State Farm knows me well and Allstate and Geico and whoever it is, electric insurance, e-insurance, a lot of these divisions of bigger companies. And when I send that out and I put the 4-page attachment and narrative of what they've done and how they've handled the case, it's funny. I usually get a response and I get the policy limits. Why? Because I know what I'm doing. Now, people have asked me in large cases, these are friends of mine who have practiced, Robert, how do you have success with these adjusters? And I tell them what I do. They go, you're kidding. You do all that work? You know what they say? Why don't you just file the complaint and then deal with it then? You get the picture? If I do it that way, it's easier for me and I make more money. You're waiting longer for less. That's why I don't do it that way.
It would seem like the law is stacked against the poor victim in this case, and it favors the doctors and the lawyers. Why?
And the the insurance companies. What happens is, if the insurance company doesn't get on board to handle that claim up front, in the appropriate way, which is what the law says they're supposed to do. My point is, you work for a living. Most people work for a living that would understand this. The incentive to the attorney to go through the nut roll I do, I don't make any more money for doing it, but you do. That's what I'm telling you. Where does that show up online? Can you show me where that shows up online?
First time I've learned this.
You see?
This is very important to listen on Tuesday afternoons.
Tell me where you've heard this from Morgan & Morgan on a TV commercial. Tell me where you've heard this on TV anywhere. This is what I'm telling you. You know, when people, I have friends then who ask me to review their cases, they come in and I tell them, we sit down and I tell them what I just did. You know what? Recently, last thing I'll tell you before we go to a break, friend of mine, I handled his case 1 year to the day, resolution. Other friend, she went with somebody else, came back to me and said, my case has been out there longer and now you already got him resolved faster. Robert, how did you do it? I told her the story as I just told you. Know what she said? I wish I had come to you. I said, I wish you did too. But now you're stuck. Not much I can do for you now. All I can tell you is you need to get with this person and work it out. That's why I'm saying that's why we're on the radio is a lot of you are going through that right now. You're not stuck there. Come on over. I will be glad to meet with you, review your case, tell you what I see, and figure out how we need to go about it. Remember, we're also on Facebook on The Lawyer's Edge. Stay with us. We're here for you on The Lawyer's Edge, WBOB.
A law firm dedicated to helping families. A law firm dedicated to you. The law firm of Robert J. Slama.
Hi, I'm Robert Slama, and I want to be your family's attorney. For over 17 years, I've assisted the Jacksonville community by providing a full-service law firm for families, not the rich and powerful, but for everyday families like yours. Since 1998, I have handled some of the most complicated cases in Jacksonville, including Brenton Butler, and more recently, the jury verdict in Jermaine DeBose. Whether it's family law, including divorce, custody, or bankruptcy, juvenile law, personal injury, probate, civil rights, or not-for-profit and churches, I'm dedicated to helping your family with your legal needs. I'm Robert Slama, and I want to be your family's attorney. Call me anytime. My number is 904-296-1050, or you may text me at 838-8607. The law firm of Robert J. Slama.
We are back with The Lawyer's Edge with Robert J. Slama, attorney at law, here on WBOB. The Lawyer's Edge on every Tuesday afternoon at 2 o'clock here on WBOB. And we've been talking about lawyers and learning how the pay scale works if they take their dear sweet time versus trying to handle it quickly in benefit of the victim. And unfortunately, we've learned this afternoon that if the lawyer takes their time, the victim doesn't get as much money, and the doctors, the insurance companies, and the lawyers make out with most of the money.
But that is a true statement.
Yeah. Now, what if someone has heard this for the first time? Their case, they were injured in an accident. The case is taken forever, and they're now hearing this, and they may want to switch to a different lawyer like yourself. Is there any financial liability? Because under the premise of the old agreement, you know, they only get paid when the case settles.
That's correct.
But what happens in this case if they want to switch lawyers mid-process?
I always tell people first, you should have gotten what's called a statement of client's rights. In it, you can switch attorneys at any time. Anytime. And so what would happen is the old firm would have a lien for costs. So let's say to date they've shelled out, I'm just making this up, $1,000 in costs. Then if I took the case, we would have to protect them from the settlement for their costs that they've already incurred. Some firms will waive that. Some, you know, it just depends on how much they have in and what all has happened. But that's why I always tell folks, as you're going down the road, what you really need to know, that's why, is things like this. That's why you need to interview different people, but get an understanding both of their experience level, what are they going to handle versus someone else handling, their record of success, particularly there are some, and I'll tell you this, when I did insurance defense, I'm going to give you another side of the business. You do realize that there are, and this is not something they should be doing, companies out there, all the bigs, they say, Roger hasn't gone to trial in a while. We're not going to settle this case. Let's see what he's got. Now, is that bad faith? It is bad faith. Is it part of the business? They want to see if you have a stomach. In other words, they're settling with you, and then all of a sudden, they say no. Let's see what he's got. Why? They want to see if you've lost your nerve. Can you go to trial? Can you get... First thing I tell them is, I say, look, I did insurance defense before. You know, if you're interested in that game, let me just help you with that. Let's set this case for trial tomorrow. I'll go tomorrow. I don't even need discovery yet in the case. You ready to go? Let's go. I litigate against the biggest and the best in the state of Florida. Anyone out there who's anybody, I've litigated with them. I can care less who they bring in. In fact, I always tell them, please do me a favor. Stack the cards against me. In fact, when they tell me I'm going to lose, I always tell them I do my best work when people tell me I'm going to lose. Let me give you an example. A few years ago, I had a trial against the city of Jacksonville. They had offered, it was about $500. Then before trial at mediation, they offered $1,500. We went to trial. I think I asked for $250,000. We got $372,500. They gave me a little bit more than what we asked for. Why is that? As you're moving through every stage of the litigation, it's kind of like a professional sporting event, right? And let's take football as an example because we're getting ready for football season. There are things that you have to accomplish on special teams, right? The kicking, the punt return, field position. There are things to be accomplished at each stage. You know what you're really measuring in an attorney? How good is he at all stages of that game, from the pleadings, from the filing, from negotiating, from motion practice, to trial skills, to hearings along the trial skills, how good is he at mediation, and then pushing them to the brink, if all else fails, how good is he going into the ring and standing in front of a jury and getting your result that way? See, Roger, what I'm trying to lay out for you is, I've been doing this for 26 years. I have a great deal of experience in each one of those areas. What you're looking for is, like in any sport, some are good in all areas, some are good in a couple. So the ones that they're good in, that's where they're trying to push the case and resolve it. But where they're able to resolve it may not be the place where you need it resolved. You see? So you've got a variety of skills that you have to have and you have to master over time in order to be able to push forward a case. So as I tell the adjusters in this thing, it doesn't matter to me which part of this process you want to go, including appeals. I do appeals to the United States Supreme Court. It doesn't matter to me. Wherever you want to do it, let's do it. Let's just get it on. It's like, from my perspective, it's like the UFC. It takes a certain person to walk in there and say, let's get it on. But not everyone can do that. You need to know what the ability is of the person that you're getting ready to send into that ring. Now, this may sound strange to you. Are you ready for this? Do you know how many people who call themselves trial attorneys are afraid to go to trial? That's why that adjuster said what they said. Why? Because they realize that a lot of these folks, they get older, they haven't been in trial for 4 or 5 years. They don't know their way around anymore.
Yeah.
You see what I mean?
Plus, it's not to their financial, the lawyer's financial advantage to, you know, exhaust all the resources or options at the very beginning.
That may be, but how you're going to go about this and how you're going to skin the cat is ultimately the issue. So anyway, what I would suggest is, anyone, you have a case, it's out there or you're getting ready to, I would love to review it. There's no charge for meeting with you, and there's no charge for reviewing the case. And you can call us at 296-1050, 296-1050, and I'd be glad to take a look at it. Anyone else who has a case, whether it's family law, anything in family law from, you know, initial dissolution all the way through modifications, and I'll give you a litigation plan, tell you exactly how we're going to do it. In fact, what I do with my clients after I meet with you, and I get a sense of at least initially what your goals are. Then I start looking into everything to find out what really is going on. From that, I then sit down with you and I develop and put down what's called a litigation plan. Here's what we're going to do. These are the steps we're going to take. This is what it costs. This is how we're going to get to the finish line. And if they do this, this is what I'm going to do. If they do this, this is what I'm going to do. In other words, every move they're getting ready to make, I'll tell you what my move already is that we're going to do in response. Ultimately, all of the creativity that goes into that, also judgment on where to try to resolve the case and how to manage your resources, is the key to the whole case. And then ultimately is, when it comes time to have to litigate it, if that's where it ends up having to be resolved, you got to be able to go in there and litigate it, either talk to those six people in the box, or in family, it's a bench trial in front of a judge, to be able to explain to him or her the merits of your case and try all of the cases. I've had, about 70 jury trials. I've had, I don't know how many bench trials, hearings and motions, tons, including appeals and appeals all the way up to the United States Supreme Court, published opinions in the 11th Circuit, and now handling David Trotty's case in both the Florida Supreme Court, the DCA, Leon County, and on our way, hopefully, in the next 48 hours, to hear whether or not the Supreme Court of the state of Florida is going to exercise discretionary review to review a very important issue, which is how we're going to manage and handle judicial elections. Big stuff.
Yeah. Now, we've talked a lot about injury law, and a lot of people think about, you know, vehicular accidents. But there are other cases when injury law, there could be a claim made. Something as simple as maybe slipping and falling, you know, while visiting your mother and father-in-law at their house because maybe there was a problem there. And it doesn't sound pretty to have to, you know, take your mother-in-law and father-in-law to court. But it's the insurance companies, of course, that they have homeowners insurance that covers that. Talk about some of the unusual cases of injury law that people may not realize they may have a claim.
Sure. And I'll give you one right off the top is dog bites. If you don't have right now an insurance rider on your house for dogs, your homeowners doesn't cover a dog bite. I got bit at my sister's house by her dog. It happens. I went through, and you go through cycles of people with dog bite cases and people running off. You open the door, your dog goes running off. This was a real case. Dog goes running off. Next door neighbor lady is out there holding groceries. She's afraid of dogs. Here comes your pooch. Pooch jumps up, hits her, and she falls down. Older lady falls down on the ground, needs to go by ambulance to the hospital, and in that case, lucky she didn't break her leg or her hip. Just like that happens. Kids come. The other time is when you have kids over. All of you who have kids, better manage your dogs because the kids and dogs, there's always a kid that's afraid, and all of a sudden someone gets scratched or bit, and you have all kinds of problems.
We live in Florida, and a lot of people live on the water on their property, retention pond, whatever the case may be. What about gators? I mean, is the homeowner responsible if an alligator, you know, comes out of their backyard and goes against them?
You're responsible. Here's your duty when someone comes over, and I'll say it legally. Roger comes over to my house. I have a duty to inspect and make safe and warn of any dangers. So